All right, everybody, we're back on Curious Apes. I am Stephen Parton.
I'm Donovan James.
And today, we're going to talk about a topic that I think everyone can relate to at some point in their life. I think it's part of the human condition. Today, we are talking about loneliness. Donovan, talk to me about loneliness.
Well, I think that, so just to start off with, you know, like you said, we all have been alone. I think being alone is a natural part of our life. You know, it's like something that I think we tried to get away from. I think there are a lot of people that are serial relationshipists, where they are always in a relationship, but they never feel alone, you know? And even if, you know, there's also people that, we're all guilty of this, I'm guilty of this, that always surround themselves with friends or family, so they never are alone and never have to think about, you know, who they are. And I think that's one of the, there's a few things I think that frighten us about loneliness. And one of the ones I'll start with is this idea of that loneliness makes us reflect on who we are. It makes us reflect on who we are, what we actually think. Like when you're alone, there's only the thoughts in your head. Right. There's only this inner turmoil.
There's no distraction.
You know, I mean, you can check your phone, you play video games, you can binge watch Netflix, and I love doing all those things. But I think that they're all a means to get away from, to assuage the loneliness, to, you know, to have us not think about, you know, who the fuck am I?
Which I think is crippling. I think the lack of that question, honestly, I think the fear of loneliness, the fact that we run from it so quickly, and the fact that we have so many ways to avoid it in our modern society, is one of the root causes of the mental illnesses and the world conflicts that we're suffering from. And I think that's, and personally for me, I think that's because if you don't sit down with who you are, if you don't reflect about your experiences, it's very easy for your opinion of the world to be completely dictated by all of the forms of information that you're taking from the outside world. That means cultural indoctrination, that means news media, that means all the angry people down at the bar or at work or wherever. And this trifecta is creating a situation where you're never able to really find that love with self that strips us from our ability to find acceptance with people different than us who don't fall into the bubble that was created by those three things.
Right. I think it's a good point. It's definitely a situation where loneliness is definitely a situation where the personal is political, where if you know, how you view yourself and how you treat yourself when you're alone and what you know about yourself, it all shapes your view of the world, like you said, and your whole interaction with the topics that you described, you know. And to go back to that point, I mean, I think, you know, loneliness, if you're not comfortable, I think one of the problems of loneliness is that you're not comfortable with who you are. Another way to phrase this is that there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. Being alone, I think we've all craved at different points in time. It's something that I need as much as I need social interaction.
Right, right.
But I think we view loneliness as something that's negative. And I think it's a necessary, you know, it's a byproduct of being alone. I think it's a byproduct of just living. I'm not sure it's something that we can get away from. And I think that a lot of the things that are sold to us, whether they are, you know, pharmaceutical pills or the drink or consumerism, are things to fill that lonely, or even religion, actually, are things to fill the loneliness hole, to make it be like, here's something you can have to make you not feel alone. And I've never found those things to be adequate medicines or adequate solutions. The only solution I've found that works, and works tremendously well, is meditation. In another way, why it works so well is that you're jumping into the pool. You're just jumping into the deep end. You know, it's like you're delving in so fully into your aloneness that you sit there with it and you just breathe and you just accept it and you float in it, that it just becomes something else. It's no longer unknown.
I think for me, if I may, the beauty about meditation, in my opinion, is that it is being alone while feeling connected at the same time. Because I feel like, as much as I think our inability to be alone is one of the root causes of conflict in the world, I think that our inability to honestly connect because of that is the biggest problem. The lack of human connection is the driving force for so many forms of addiction and depression. all over the world. This is, there are scientific studies, we'll hand them all to you in a huge list after this, but there are so many scientific studies that show that the reason people become addicted most often, the reason people become depressed most often, is because they don't have good human connection.
Yeah.
And I think, to bring it back real quick, I think that's why meditation offers a really beautiful solution, is because it allows you to be alone and connected at the same time. But I think you have to find the balance between the two. I think you have to find the balance between being alone and being connected. You have to be able to connect with another human being. You have to be able to connect with yourself.
Well, that's the thing. Like, no human is an island. You know, I don't know who wrote it originally, but it's like, no man is an island. No human is an island. And we are social creatures. We need social interaction. Yes. to feel okay, to bounce back ourselves and our ideas out into the world and have it reflected back on us, you know? And like you said, I mean, a large degree that we are lonely is because we don't have human connection. And mm-hmm. I think it's this really unfortunate self-fulfilling prophecy that just loops back on itself. Mm-hmm. The more you feel lonely, the more you feel like, oh, no one's going to want to be my friend. No one's going to want to talk to me, or I'll say something stupid. And then you don't put yourself out there, you know, right. And then you just end up becoming more lonely. I mean, people have experienced this, I think, all throughout Portland in December and January.
Yes. And I think one of the main reasons, and you touched on this earlier, unfortunately, is that loneliness is massively profitable for corporations. And this is because we have a system where if you buy a house with a white picket fence and you get a car and you work in a cubicle, you surround yourself with this bubble that keeps people at bay, you start to look for a way to find connection. You find a way to find meaning. And often this means consumerism. Often this means we buy a lot of shit. We think that buying something new will suddenly fill that void that what we really need is another human being. But we're like, maybe I need another human being, or maybe I need a PlayStation.
Right.
You know, if I have a PlayStation, that will fill like 3 or 4 solid hours a night. And that way I don't need 3 or 4 hours with the person. But you're not actually solving the problem there. In the same way that, you know, when we go out to a bar and we see somebody sitting on their phone at the bar next to 10 other people looking at their phone, there's this great irony of watching somebody completely isolate themselves in this like depressive state when they're yearning for human connection on like Tinder, mm-hmm. while right next to them is somebody who would probably be a great human connection.
Yeah.
And none of them are talking to each other.
It's the idea of being alone together.
Yeah, so the progression of technology, and not to say it's all bad by any means. I think smartphones are incredible. I think human connectivity has flourished in many ways, and tolerance has flourished in many ways thanks to technological connection. But I think that it also has allowed a lot of people to isolate themselves into things like games on their smartphone and endless scrolling through pages of people and information. And then you get caught up in this game where you're building a bubble around yourself at all times that pushes away human connection. And then you go home after a social night, you've had a few drinks, but you've not talked to anybody. And now you're having a depressant in your body.
Right.
And you're alone still.
Right.
So you didn't even make any gains.
Yeah. I think part of the problem when we're sold, you know, consumerist solutions to loneliness is that loneliness is something that's going to happen throughout our lives. Yeah. It's not something that we can get away from. It's not a bad thing, really, because it's something that is going to happen sometimes. Yes. It's like depression, you know? It's the flip side of happiness. It's like some days you're going to be depressed. You can do whatever you can do to get out of it, but there's no changing the fact that our minds are in some sense like the weather and the clouds that are in Portland right now. You know, they're overcast now. You know, some days you're depressed. And I don't think that's something that we should run away from or try to fix immediately every time with pills or buying something. I think that sometimes it should just be like, okay, well, today's one of those days where I'm kind of depressed. I'll try to, you know, maybe meditate. I'll try to, you know, exercise, go for a run. But, you know, if it's just one of those days where it's like, well, that's all right. You know, if it's one of those days where I'm lonely, I mean, that's just all right. Because there's going to be days when you're happy. There's going to be moments of happiness. But you're not going to be ecstatic happy for your whole life. And there's no way to achieve that.
And I think the two issues there is that, one, you know, it might have just been a Freudian slip. But, you know, you said, today I'm going to be depressed.
Yeah.
But I think what we really need to do is rephrase that to say, today I'm going to be sad, or today I'm just not gonna be super passionate about something. Like, one of the things that worries me is that we take any hint of sadness, any hint of alone time where we have to reflect and have some solemn reflection on our existence as an immediate trigger through the doorway of depression, where it's like, we don't see the constant sine wave of happiness as just a dance around a good life. We see it as complete bliss or complete depression, right? And we black and white it because we love to have things orderly in our life. And unfortunately, part of the consumerism we're sold is this idea of like, everyone's happy all the time, buy things and you'll be happy. Look at how skinny she is, look at how fit he is, look at how well off he is, like, he makes so much money, she makes so much money, and we all feel like shit about our lives because we're made to feel like we can't match a standard. And that makes us want to be even alone even more, because like you said, after a while of doing it, you start to think to yourself like, oh, maybe no one's gonna want to be my friend, maybe I'm not worth it, maybe I'm gonna say something stupid, maybe I can't tell anybody I have a good job, I can't tell anybody I have this kind of awesome thing to share, and so I'm just not gonna say anything,
right?
So we get sold inadequacies so that we'll buy stuff, and then we carry that sense of inadequacy into our relationships, and then we basically stop having relationships because we don't feel like we deserve it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a fear of failure in our approach to relationships, where we think that, you know, we're not, if when we're lonely, you know, we're not good enough for other people, or we can't be friends with them, we can't make friends. What's crazy to me is that, like, there's a statistic, or I read that not having a social group is as detrimental to one's health as a vice, as like smoking or drinking. Mm-hmm. Like, if you smoke, if you drink, and you're alone, all three are equally bad for you. That's mm-hmm. how much we need other people, you know? Mm-hmm. And our society, you know, has constructed itself. There's this other guy, I think it's called Bowling Alone, and it's a book about the how, you know, for better or worse, church was a way for Americans to interact every week, how it was a community, mm-hmm. you know? And how, like, people would go bowling, and they would have different forms of community, you know? And that's, to a large degree, that has faded in a lot, yes. In many parts of America. It's where the natural thing that everyone does is they come home, they watch TV or Netflix, or they play video games, and they pass out, and they go up, and they get to work, and they do it again. And there's no communal activities anymore. We're lucky in Portland that we have, like, you know, the theater company that, or the various things that people can do. But in a lot of America, people don't have hobbies outside of work.
But even then, I feel like we're not really that lucky, because I feel like it's very hard in anywhere in the first world, or at all, to find a secular church
mm-hmm.
that's free. Yeah. You know, like the support group for loneliness, I think it was George Carlin who said, there's a support group. It's called the bar.
Well, it's like, oh, you hate your job? There's a support group for that. It's called Everyone, and they meet at the bar.
Yeah, exactly. And so
perfect.
So that's the point, is like, we have to go spend money drinking a depressant
right.
to have community.
Right.
And even if we don't drink, if we just maybe go to a theater event, if we go to an art gallery opening, you know, a lot of these things dominate our attention. We're staring at a screen at the cinema. You know, we're staring at the stage at the theater. You know, everyone's maybe put into the art and focused on that at a gallery, even at a concert. Everyone's being blasted by music that doesn't allow anyone to converse.
Right.
And it still costs tickets to get into all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a free way that doesn't hurt us physically with the poison that is alcohol. I love having a pint, but it is poison. It's a depressant as well. And when we're doing this, we're literally making ourselves less happy, financially hurting ourselves more. And we're still not often even able to communicate, because most places, a lot of bars and whatnot, turn up the volume so loud, turn the lights down so low that you can't even talk to your community. So how do we bring back that sense of community and connection and get rid of these barriers between people?
I don't know, but I do think that there's something to the idea that we need a secular church. Something that is, that you said, that is free, that does... Because I think what someone got lost on the way, you know, is that... we threw out, you know, human spirituality with organized religion. And I think that was a mistake.
Huge mistake.
I think that there is inherently a spiritual side to us, but it doesn't need all this baggage of, nonsensical ideas of, you know, Mary being impregnated by God against her will, or that, you know, that Noah, 900-year-old man, built an ark. You know, we don't need these archaic ideas to be like, well, you know, when I do certain things, I feel really good, you know, or when I
treat my fellow siblings well,
and, right, or I really love my family, I really love my friends. You know, the things that you feel inside do not require the baggage of organized religion, and that's why we do need some sort of, you know, secular church. And unfortunately, the best thing we have right now, to me, it seems like, is you know, is hobbies, is like either it's an artistic group that you're a part of, or if you play like kickball or, you know, soccer with some friends, but almost always entails drinking in some regard. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the hard part, is we've kind of built that into a, we've built a lot of peer pressure around the notion of drinking, and we've put a lot of people in this generation in a situation where they don't feel financially secure.
Yeah.
They don't feel a spiritual connection because we've ran so far away from religion, including spirituality, because we've seen the problems it has caused in the past. You know, our generation tends to be less religious, and I think a lot of that's because we are connecting more with people around the world. But at the same time, while we're connecting with maybe someone in Europe when we're in America, we're still not connecting with people just down the street.
Right.
You know, we have a way to, like, and we're able to see why human connection is important, but we can't financially afford it, and we don't have the time for it. And we've been so stupefied by marketing that makes us feel inadequate that we don't think we deserve it. And we're really suffering to find community in modern society.
That being said, I mean, I guess a easy way to fix this is, you know, you can always invite your friends over for dinner. You can always, like, hook a meal, you know, no alcohol, and just invite your friends over and have a conversation over that. But I think, to go back to this idea of loneliness, you know, I've noticed that if you know yourself well, the amount of loneliness greatly decreases, even if you have the same amount of alone time. And I think connection is half of the issue. I think that we structure our lives in a way that is not spiritually fulfilling through jobs we dislike, through long commutes. I think those are two aspects. But I think simply not knowing who you are and being uncomfortable when you're alone is another one that I almost want to say is more important than the other two, because if you have the other two and you don't know who you are and you're not comfortable being alone, you're still going to be lonely. It's like the root cause, you know, and you have to be able to accept things about you, because if you don't, then when you're out interacting with people striving for that connection, it's always going to ring with a vibration of falseness, because you don't know who you are enough to present something truly genuine.
Right. And then that's how we have, and that's where we struggle to build connections with other people, is because we don't know who to offer.
Right.
If we don't know who we are, then we don't know how to present some version of ourselves that we get really excited about. You know, it's hard to bond over shared characteristics or passions when you don't know what your passion is.
Right.
If you don't have an awareness of who you are, how do you find that beautiful middle ground that you share with somebody else? So I think, maybe that's why meditation, I think, is so important, is because you start to build the bridges to find out what is meaningful in your life. You start to gain the mental clarity to be able to look at the different parts of reality that you live and say, how has this made me feel? And I think it's very important to be aware of the small things we can do in our days to figure out what makes us happy. You know, like, smiling at people, holding the door for somebody, doing these small gestures of community, paying attention to how we feel when we go out and do certain events, like just being very mindful of how we're actually connecting with experience, not doing it just because it fills some time and it's better than being alone, but like asking ourselves, like, does this feel good, or is this something that is me just trying to not be bored, not be alone?
Right.
You know, is it based out of love or is it based out of fear? Do you fear the loneliness or do you love the experience?
That's a good point.
And pay deep attention to that and focus on that love. And then when you find the things that speak to you in that way, do more of those things. And then you start to learn who you are, I think. And then you can start offering those things to other people. But try lots of experiences, you know, do lots of things. Try the kickball club, go rock climbing, you know, go find your church. Go find your secular church.